Well, good morning. We are. We just want to say one thing before we get started is that this is a family service. So what we've done is we've said that our SR Kids upstairs is not happening. We are going to have everybody down here because we want to have everybody together. But if you have someone who is a little too restless and is needing to be in the nursery, the nursery is open for you if you'd like to take your little ones to the nursery. But at the same time, we look at this opportunity of getting together and to have all the families together. And it's just a really cool thing to be able to do. All right, so because we've got a whole bunch of kids in here, we got to be a little more imaginative and creative. So we're going to take our hands like this. We're going to hold them out. Everybody can do this? Okay. We're going to be putting on our seatbelt together. You ready for this? So we're going to make a click sound. You ready? Okay, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Click. All right. Very good. So this is the reason why I decided to start with that is because I wanted to make sure everyone's engaged, but also because this is a shorter message. So it's really important to stay attentive because we have a shorter service today because we have everybody involved. So got your seatbelts ready? You're in for a ride? Awesome. Okay. Have you heard it said, you probably have heard this said, that to follow your heart. You probably thought, oh yeah, you know what? And the first thing I thought of when I heard that, I love Lord of the Rings, so that's one of the things I think of right away. I'm like, what does your heart tell you, you know? And you think, okay, yeah, you know, follow your heart or follow what's in your gut. Like, what does your gut say? What do you follow your heart? Have you heard that before? Yeah? I know that sometimes it's hard to do that because we know that if you follow your heart, our heart sometimes changes. What we feel is right sometimes changes. And you think, well, okay, well, if I follow my heart and it changes, how can I trust that? And other times, we have times where we want to trust. If we don't know what to do, we think, okay, well, if I don't know what to do, what do? We go to our friend or our parents or someone we really trust, and we go to them and say, okay, well, I need help with something. I need some advice. I need to go to them, right? Kids, you go to your parents sometimes and say, yep. So but the problem is with this is that when we trust in somebody else, they may be really, 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 really good at being someone you can trust in. And you know that they're really good. But the problem with it is that they're not perfect. They might be 99% perfect, but they're not perfect. And you think, okay, well, can you trust them all the time? Yeah, you can trust them all the time, but they can't be perfect. So if we can't trust our heart and what we believe we think is right in our heart, and we can't trust other people, then what do we have? What do we have? I know I have lots of verses that I could have talked about today. We're doing this series called Verses That Changed My Life, and I've got lots of verses that I could have done. And in fact, I was talking to somebody else who's preached in this series, and they're like, what? You're doing a whole passage? This is not allowed. You're supposed to do one verse. I'm like, ah. It's context. It has to work. I have to do it. So we're going to look at this passage today. But really what I want to talk about is how Jesus changed my life. How Jesus kind of took my life like this and kind of flipped it. And how when I started trusting in Jesus, that's when I started realizing that I can have a hope that's secure. I can start trusting the Bible because I know that when I read the Bible, I know that I can hear Jesus speaking to me through that. Even as when I was younger, but even today, I still do this. And I was doing that just the other day when my dad was over, and my dad came out into the patio, and I'm outside because it was nice and warm out. And I remember reading my Bible, and he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I remember saying, okay, well, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just wanting to know what God has to say to me today. When I decided to trust in Jesus, I decided that I wanted to dig deep roots. I wanted to dig deep roots. And digging deeper roots is worth fighting for. So we're going to talk about how we can and what we can do about digging a deeper root. So this passage we're going to look at today is Jeremiah 17. And you might be thinking, okay, you're talking about Jesus here. You're talking about Jesus changing your life. And you're talking about deep roots. How does that have to do? Like, why don't you just pick John 3:16? Who memorized John 3:16 today or this week? You know, this week or even in the past. All the parents were like, but yeah, some of you at camp, you guys learned that one and knew it before. And that would have been a really good one to do because God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's an awesome verse. But what I want to look at today is Jeremiah 17 because I think that this is a way that we can look at how we can dig deep roots and have Jesus central and how he can help us in our life. So before we continue, I just want to say a quick prayer. It's going to be quick. So, all right, let's pray together, okay? Jesus, we ask you to speak through these verses today to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So these are the verses in Jeremiah 17. So I'm going to read it. You can read it up on the screen, or if you're too young to read, and just listen to what I have to say. So this is what it says in Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 10. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. And yes, we know what drought feels like, instead of being drowned like the rest of the year. And never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. So these are really, really strong words. And it has two opposing views, doesn't it? It has those who are cursed and those who are blessed. And you wonder which one you want to be, right? Like, okay, well, if I was a tree, I'd want to have green leaves, right? Kids, you following? Yeah? And if you're a tree, you want to produce fruit. You want to be able to produce good things. You don't want to be all shriveled up. You don't want to be someone who doesn't produce fruit. Why then do we not see the blessed people outnumber the cursed people in our world today? Have you thought of that before? Why don't we see more trees that are green? Why don't we see more fruit that is good? I wonder if those of us around here and those of us in life, we try to do things on our own. We think, we can do it. We can do this on our own. We can handle this. It's all good. I can man up. I can do these things. And I wonder how many of us that are Jesus followers also struggle with this. I know that I have. I know there have been times in my life where I felt like, man, what is going on? Why am I not green leafed as a tree? Why do I not see fruit in my life? When it says in the Bible, it says what that verse that we read, it says, and it's pretty straightforward, that when we put our hope in God, and that we will have green leaves, we will be satisfied. We'll dig our roots deep, produce fruit of holiness and good works. Back when we moved into our house, we live in a townhouse in Murrayville, and one of the things I noticed right away was when we went to the back patio, I thought, hey, look at these awesome plants in our backyard. This is great. There are lots of crazy exotic things. We just have two little, it's not like I've got acreages or anything, but a townhouse doesn't really work, does it? Okay, so, but we have these like garden beds in our back, and I look at them, I'm like, oh, these great ornate flowers and all these things, and I'm thinking, you know what? Flowers are great. I like flowers, but nothing's producing for me. So what I did was, I did what anybody might do if they didn't want flowers. They just ripped them all out. So maybe totally expensive flowers, I don't know. But I ripped them all out. And if you know me for very long, you'll know that I love growing garlic. I don't know. It's a weird thing that I love to grow garlic. So I ripped out one of them, and I planted a whole 45 heads of garlic in this little tiny patch. And it's almost ready to harvest already. And I just think, like, when for me, I'm like, if I'm going to grow something, I want it to like produce for me, you know what I mean? Like I want this to like help my budget, you know, like I'm less going to Ralph's, although Ralph's is really cheap, but I'm less going there and I want to grow my own stuff. So then the other one, I got that garlic in the one side, and on the other side I've got my beets, which is like totally not what Pastor Brent loves. And then I got some romaine and lettuce, and I've got some radishes, and I got some pots with some different herbs, and it's really fun to watch things grow, and it's really great to see things that you can produce and good stuff. By getting it all ready and getting it all together. I think that trusting in Jesus and following in him will help us to produce these valuable things that we talk about with holiness and good fruit and good vegetables. I know some of you kids hate your vegetables, but I'm telling you, long term, you need to keep your fruit and vegetables going. You don't want to stop your fruit and vegetables, so listen to your parents when they do that. So when they say that you need to eat your fruits and vegetables. But I think that trusting in Jesus will help us produce these things. And in the beginning of the message today, in the last two verses, we see that we talk about the heart. Who can understand the heart? It changes. It's deceitful, the verse says. It's beyond cure. We often want to lead with what our heart says, right? We say, well, it feels good. I think this is what I should do, so I'm just going to do it. But we aren't fooling God. He sees it all. And it says in the last verse, he searches the heart and examines the mind. If we only follow our heart, we tend to grow shallow roots. It's not deep enough. Think about it. Now, shallow roots just run out from where the plant grows, right? So sometimes it's not great soil. So you plant something in there and it just kind of like spreads out. Now, I know that roots don't really think and see, but just humor me for a second. So we've got a plant, okay? Just think about a plant. It's got its roots going out. And it's almost like you think about how we think through things. We think, okay, well, I'm going to do things on my own. So I'm going to pop my head just a little above the soil. And I'm going to look out and see, okay, yeah, I think I see a stream over there. I'm going to just going to keep on going along the surface. And that's how we think. And we think like that as long as we can kind of this, like whatever we can see, whatever we can do, that's the best way of doing things. But I think that it takes effort to grow down, looking for nutrients and water. It's a darker journey. You may not see the surface, but it's hard, and it's harder to see where we're going, but it makes our hope more secure by digging deep. Have you ever seen a clear-cut forest before? Have you ever seen that before? Where they just chop every single tree down? Have you ever seen it on the side of a hill? Have you seen that before? On the side of a hill, you see this really steep hill, and then there's these stumps there that used to be a forest. Do you know what happens over time when you see those stumps there? Because the trees aren't growing and the roots aren't going out, what happens is that whole side of the hill will eventually, depending on the soil, could possibly just all crash down. But if you leave the forest there and it grows on that side of the hill, then that whole mountainside will continue to be secure. It takes effort to grow our roots down. So I'm going to ask somebody to come up and help me today. I'm going to choose a volunteer. It's going to be a younger volunteer. So if somebody who is between grades 4 and 7 would like to put up their hand and be a volunteer for me. Is there anybody? You happen to be the tallest hand there, Aiden, so come on up. So Aiden's going to come up. And awesome. Thanks, Aiden. Say hi to Aiden. Hi. Okay, see? So you're going to come up and stand right here, okay? Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to do something really cool. Do you want to wear a Wookiee? Do you remember this from soccer camp, guys? Yeah? Okay. So I want you to wear this mask. Okay? Awesome. Yeah, it suits him. Yeah. All right. Okay. You've worn this before, haven't you? All right. He has, actually. All right. So what we're going to do is I'm going to turn around. Oh, that makes it harder to see, doesn't it? Like, wow, it almost looks like you're staring at me. Oh, no, put this down. Okay, so what I'm going to get you to do is I'm going to get you to, and now I'm not going to get you to do this. Actually, this is a bad idea. So do not do what I'm saying, okay? But we're going to tell you, like, as if you were going to do it, is just to follow your heart, and you're going to walk off the edge of that stage. Now, don't do it, because I don't want to be liable for some suing or something. So, okay, no, obviously, it's a little bit harder to do that. Hey, he can't see. If he just follows, like, yeah, I can just try. I could think I can do it. He could end up doing it, but we don't want you to hurt yourself. But if we have someone helping us, if we have someone helping us to see where we're going, then it's not so hard. Now try going off the stage. Sound good? You have a chance to still do it. Awesome. Cool. Maybe give him a round of applause for helping me. Awesome. If we have someone who helps them be able to see and helps them be able to go off that edge of the stage, then it is a lot easier, isn't it? Growing deeper roots means we have to be living for someone else, someone deeper. And I'm suggesting to you today that it's Jesus, that Jesus can help you with that. Some of you remember the story about Jesus giving fresh water in John chapter 4. Like, they're like, I give you water and that will help you never be thirsty again. When trying times come, when big decisions come, when you feel, kids, sometimes when you feel alone, grown-ups, when you feel alone, when you stand up to temptation, when we doubt the existence of God, that does happen. Yes, when those times happen. It says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and whose confidence is in him. Blessed is the one. I remember the day that I committed to Jesus. I remember the day so vividly. And I remember that rush of feeling when I felt like I prayed to Jesus and I said, Jesus, please, I ask that you come into my life. And I remember that feeling. It was a rush and it was this crazy feeling. Not everybody feels this, but for some reason I did. And I look back on that and I remember like when the Bible says that we become a temple of the Holy Spirit, I felt like, I wonder if that emotion was the rush of the Holy Spirit coming inside of me and I becoming a temple of the Holy Spirit. That was the day that I chose to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. This is the first part of digging our roots down. Have you ever tried to rip out a bush before? Have you tried to like go down and like rip out a bush out of the ground? Like that's been there for years. Yeah, I was not very smart and I tried to do that a few times in my house in Quesnel. We had about a quarter acre and we had these bushes and I just wanted to get rid of them. They weren't producing for me. And so I was ripping them out and I tried and eventually I was like doing it the right way and then as I got lazy and I started thinking, oh, you know, I just need to rip them out. I'm strong enough, I can do this. So I just started trying to rip them out. And you know, have you tried to do that before? Like you can get a hernia trying to do that. So you're just trying to like rip these things out. Unless you do this, dig around the sides, take the shovel, chop the roots down. You have to like really prepare to rip out a bush. It's really hard to just barehand it. It's tough. When your roots are secure, it's tough to be uprooted. One time I remember feeling God's presence so powerfully. The cool thing about it is that it reminded me of who my trust and hope is in. And I remember feeling the presence of God, and I remembered, hey, wait a second, I've felt this before. I don't know if you've had that before, but you've had that feeling like, I felt this before, and now I know this is God. I think that if it wasn't for me personally, digging my roots down, I don't know if I would understand and acknowledge that. I don't know if I would see that happening. I don't know if I'd understand that it was God's presence in my life. Just about a month ago, I was driving home from Home Depot. Has anybody been to Home Depot before? Kids, you've been to Home Depot, dragged to Home Depot? Yep, awesome. And I remember driving in my van, and I remember just struck with what God is doing in my life, and I felt like, God, you are providing for me. This is so awesome. You're providing for me. And I remember just yelling it out, just like some sort of praise to God. And I'm thinking, yes, God, this is awesome. Thank you so much for being in my life. Like, and I wanted to reassure him that I'm really living for him. I know he doesn't need my reassurance to be God, but I just like, you know what, God, I need to tell you that I just love that I can follow you and that I want to live for you for life. Now, what impacted me most about this passage we're looking at today, it's something really interesting. I was thinking about when I read through it and I looked at how we are, where we are planted. And because obviously we've been talking about trees, right? And some of you have been writing in your notes. Some parents, you're just handing it to your kids because you're like, I need them to get something to do. But in the sermon notes, their message notes, you can draw a picture of what you would look like as a tree. And I remember, I looked at this the first time I looked at it, I was struck with this whole, the idea of where you are planted makes a difference. We are all trees. I think that when I follow Jesus in my life, I find myself in lots of different places, but I always have that opportunity to grow deeper roots. It doesn't matter if I'm where I'm living, so if I'm living on Vancouver Island, where I grew up, or if I'm living way north in Quesnel, and I know that when I lived in Quesnel, it was harder to grow roots up there because it was colder in the wintertime, but you know, I'm just joking. It was easy to do that. I mean, God was working in my life, and I was digging down roots, and now I'm here, I'm digging down roots here, and anywhere I've been, I've always been able to grow deeper roots. And I've always had water for my roots because I've asked Jesus for Jesus to lead me for his water. Now, I've been down to Mexico quite a few times, and one of the places we go to when we've gone down to Mexico to build houses was this orphanage. Now, you guys know what an orphanage is. Kids, you know what an orphanage is? Yep, where a whole bunch of kids that don't have parents go. And so this lady, the story of this orphanage is that a lady came by and she was praying away and she's like, I believe that God wants us to have this orphanage to build an orphanage and to reach out to the kids in Mexico, in Vicente Guerrero, Mexico. So she was praying away. She got a chance to do this. She built the orphanage with a whole bunch of people. And one day they're like thinking, you know what? We need to plant some stuff to help produce fruit for these people, kids in the orphanage. So what they started doing is they started planting some of these trees and these vegetables and everything. And then they said, hey, wouldn't it be cool if we tried throwing in some apple trees and some pear trees? And you know what happened? These apple trees and these pear trees they planted started to grow and started to produce fruit. And these apple trees and pear trees were cold weather plants, and they're producing fruit, and they're beside the limes and the oranges and the lemons, and they're like, this is crazy. That's the miracle of God, that in Mexico, this deserty place, all these fruits started growing up. It was just crazy. And then what happened was something way worse than what we've experienced in the last few weeks. This massive drought happened in this area. And what happened was the city, all the city water and all the wells in the area all dried up. But guess what? The orphanage still had water. So the people in the orphanage said, hey, we've got lots of water. We would like to give you this Christian orphanage to get water for the whole town. So everybody from the whole area started coming down to this orphanage to get their water. And it was crazy. And they're like, okay, there's got to be something weird, like something's different about this place. So after they did some tests and trying to figure out what's happening, is that little did this lady know in the very beginning that this massive aquifer, this huge underground lake was there right around the whole property of this orphanage. It was crazy to see what God is planning to be able to prepare and to help people. What I'm reminded of when I hear that story about that orphanage is that those who drink the water from Jesus never thirst. So the question is for you, how deep are your roots? Do your roots go as deep as what is humanly possible? Or maybe it's more than what's humanly possible. Are you drinking the roots of the water that Jesus gives? If you don't know Jesus, you know now that your roots can go deeper. Like this pot. You know, I brought this. This is one of the pots from that actually was saved and I didn't rip out. But this is a summer snowflake. And it's kind of like a tree because it's got a thicker trunk on there. But you look at this pot and you think about what's actually, it's a pretty big plant. And the roots are confined by the pot, right? The roots can't get out. They can't get down. I think sometimes we bind ourselves up and we don't allow God to loosen everything up and to allow us to really seek out God and seek out Jesus and try to get deeper roots. If you know Jesus here today, the question is, how deep are your roots? Are you ready for when things come? When dry times come, when you don't feel God, because that does happen. We don't feel that God's close. How deep are your roots? Well, what am I calling you to do today? Is to think, how do we do this? And that's first thing is to trust and put your confidence in Jesus. And we as a church want to help you. If you are in that spot and you heard that earlier, if you want to come to Jesus for the first time, we would love you to do this. And we want to help you. So come talk to me afterwards. There's other people at the front that would love to pray with you and talk with you about that. But if you've already done this, the second part is this. And this is really important for those of you adults that know that maybe you need to be more involved, is to get involved in our church more. Like, is there some way that you can get more involved? Some of you know what those things are. Some of you may not. So if you want to do this for me, or I mean, not for you, me, for you, if you want to do this for yourself, take a Connect card, fill that out. And if there's anything specific that you want to fill out, I'm gonna suggest a few things. If you want, if you need prayer to fill out and say, hi, I need prayer. I need this. I need to grow my deeper roots. I need to do this. If you want accountability to read your Bible more. If you want a mentor. If you want to get connected in a small group. If you're like, oh man, it's been so long since I've been to a small group. Maybe this is your time to do that. Maybe there are things that will help you. These are the things that will help you grow great, deeper roots by getting connected in the church. You know, it's my passion to get everybody here connected in a small group. I don't know if that's possible, but if you're a kid, you got your SR Kids small group, right? If you're a teen, you got your Hub small groups. If you are a young adult, you got our third space small groups. If you're an adult, you've got your adult small groups. And you know what? Just take that whole idea of guilt off the table. If you're a parent here and you've been, man, it's been so long since I've been in a small group. What's important to us is that first step, to say that you've got a connection in a small group, that you at least are known by somebody, and that you are connected to somebody in this church, not just the big church, but connected in the church. And in September, I'm going to be talking more about that the next time that I get to stand up here and talk with you. So once you feel, if you fill that out, you want to come by and grab that, send it to me, or if you want to send it by the welcome desk, feel free. But this is more than just a later thing. I want to talk about this being like a now commitment as well. So what I'm going to do is, who here is maybe grade 7 and younger? Is it, put up your hand if you're grade 7 or younger. Yeah? I'm going to get you guys to help me out. And I don't want you to help me out by doing something you don't feel like you're comfortable with doing. But I want you to do is this. That if you want to commit to Jesus by saying this, it's not an official commitment, but you say, well, it's an official commitment, but it's not like, if you know Jesus already, this is not that type of a commitment. But you say, okay, Jesus, I want to have deeper roots. Okay? If you're one of those kids and you're grade 7 or younger and you say, I want to have deeper roots, then maybe you can do something for me. Maybe you can stand up in front of everybody. And there's lots of you. So it's not just you, okay? So if you would like to do that, awesome. Cool. Hey, that's awesome. Hey, high five. All right. So if you would like to have deeper roots, do you want to just stand up? It's going to feel weird because there's going to be lots of different people. You want to stand up? And then you want to say that? Can you want to just stand up? Say, if you feel like this is for you, you want to just stand up where you are. Just stand up where you are. You want to say it? Say it out loud. I want, Jesus, I want to have deeper roots. You want to say that? Yeah. Say it out. Awesome. That's great. Look at these kids, hey? They really, and keep standing. They really want to, you guys say that too? Awesome. That's great. Now, for those of you who are grade 8 and older, you see the commitment of these kids. They're saying, Jesus, I want to have deeper roots. If you're someone grade 8 and older, if you want to stand up and you want to do this, then tell Jesus, Jesus, I want to have deeper roots. I'm going to do this. I want everybody to be moving today. Okay, so if you believe this in your heart and you want to do this, just do it if you feel like God's telling you to do this, to stand up. So if you're grade 8 and older, say, Jesus, I want to have deeper roots. Awesome. Sweet. Cool. This is awesome. This is good. Okay. This is really, really cool. Now, what I'm going to do is, everybody who's standing here, I want you to turn to somebody, young and old. If you're a kid, if you're a teen, if you're a young adult, or if you're an adult, I want you to turn to each other, learn a name. Okay? Learn somebody's name, and you're going to, okay, learn their name quick. Share a name with somebody beside you. All right, you guys all know everybody's name? Don't get into what's going on with the, sports going on and stuff like that and weather. Okay, so you got everybody's name? Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We as a church are going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for that other person. You know their name now, and you're going to say, Susie is their name, okay? You'll be like, Jesus, I pray that Susie will get deeper roots. And kids, I want you to pray too, okay? So turn to somebody right now and to pray with them. Just take turns praying for each other, okay? Go. Amen. The cool thing is for those of us that are Jesus followers here, if we can't do it here, then where can we do it? If we can't do this in these walls to pray for each other, you guys can sit down. If we can't pray for each other here, if we can't pray intergenerationally here, then where can we do it? Right? This is the best place to do this. So I'm going to call the band up at this time. And if you would like someone to pray with you, If you would like someone to, you know what, some things didn't connect for you and you have questions, you're not sure about things, I'll be here at the front. I'm just going to probably go off to the side over here. And I would love to talk with you. There's going to be people with prayer lanyards. If there's somebody that just, you know what, I just want to pray. And you want to come forward and have someone pray with you or ask questions, then I want to have this time that you do not leave here without figuring that out. If you're confused by this whole thing, you're like, what's deeper roots? What do you mean by this? Come talk to me. I think it's important that we do this. I really, really do. I think if there's too many of us, because that could happen. It could happen that there's too many of you. Don't think about the people that are up here. Just everybody come forward. If that's you and you just feel like, I really want to pray, and I really want to pray for somebody, or I really want to just ask questions, I don't want to leave here, we're going to sing some songs. So it's not going to be awkward. So we're going to sing some songs. And if you would like to do that, I encourage you. You've already been active. You've already gotten up and down again. So it's not like you're like, oh, I just haven't been up in a while. Take this opportunity. Because we as Southridge, all of us here, feel this is important to be the community of God, to help and encourage one another. You think about this. God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has been in community with himself for eternity. For eternity. Isn't that amazing? God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has been in community with himself for eternity. And you think, if he's been in community with himself for eternity, there's got to be something for us to be in community with ourselves. Young and old, kids, and the other spectrum, the end of the spectrum. You would listen to that, though. We need each other. We can't do this alone. I hope that this coming year, we're gonna change as a church, and we're going to see some awesome things happen, not because of us, but because we've allowed God to work. Are we going to play church? Are we going to be a church?